we're just going to jump right into the message this morning. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel 15. You listen fast. I'm going to go fast. I've got to move along here. I got a lot of text. I'm just going to have to skip over some of it to keep it moving. But I got one point I want to try to get across this morning. And so this is probably a familiar story to some of you, so that probably help as far as our time's concerned. I won't have to go through a lot of details, but there's a lot in this chapter, 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And we'll just begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1, if you'll follow along, I'll try to move along this morning. The Bible says this: Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the Lord, the words of the Lord, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And then if you would, skip down to verse number 22. For sake of time, we'll just skip ahead here, and we're going to cover this whole passage, this section of it. But it's, verse 22 says this: "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the morning. Lord, we've tried to bathe today in prayer, and we've sang praises to you. Lord, we know this is all about you. It's nothing about us. And Lord, I pray for the next couple minutes, Lord, as I try to convey what I believe you've given to me, this message, I pray you'd help me to say everything I should, nothing more, nothing less, that you get the glory. Lord, speak to our hearts today. If there be someone in here who's just struggling, Lord, with what you want them to do, I pray you'd give us peace, Lord. Help us just surrender things to you. We love you and thank you for everything that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in our text this morning, we find here that in Samuel, he approaches the king, which is now Saul. Now, we understand by reading Scripture that Saul was the first king of Israel. They never had a king before him. They didn't need one. They had God. God himself would use his man, the prophet, and he would explain to the children of Israel, to God's people, what they must do, where they should go, what they should do in this battle, and what they should do here. They had a man of God that would help lead them, but they never had a king, and they wanted a king. Why did they want a king? Because they wanted to fit in with the rest of the world. Because if you studied your Bible, all the other tribes, all the other people groups, they all had their own king, someone who would be in authority over them. And so God allowed it to happen. God gave permission and allowed Israel to be able to have a king. The first king was this man named Saul. And so Saul takes the job and the role of the king. And in a couple chapters before this, we find that one of the first things he does, and he knows better, is that he gets into a jam. Instead of seeking God's help and waiting on the man of God to find instruction what God wants him to do, he's about ready to go to battle, and he's scared, and he's getting surrounded by all his enemy. And so what does he do? He goes into the temple by himself, which he's not supposed to do that as a king, and makes a sacrifice unto God himself, which at that time, that's not their job. we have priests for that. That's what God gave orders for who could go in and make sacrifices. It wasn't the king. It's supposed to be the priest. And we might look at that and think it's not that big a deal. What's the deal? You know, he's trying to get a hold of God, but he didn't do it God's way. And we had to remember that everything we do, that has to be done God's way if we want to please our Lord. That's why we have our Bibles, right? If we just could do anything the way we thought, we wouldn't need our Bibles. We just could just go by our feelings. Well, I feel like this will help please God. But we understand that it doesn't work that way. God has a process. God has an order to things. And so Saul now is in chapter 15. God gives him somewhat of another chance in a way. And he says this to him: this is what I want you to do. I want you to gather your men, gather your troops, and I want you to go against the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites, I didn't get to read the whole passage. My goal was to read verses 1 through 24. Gives you a better mindset of the context of what's going on. But if you study the Amalekites, back in Exodus chapter 17 and Deuteronomy chapter 25, it talks about when the children of Israel were freed from bondage out of Egypt. And as they came out, the Amalekites, they laid in wait. And as if a lot of those people back in those days, when you have that many people traveling, usually the weak ones are on the backside of everybody. They can't hardly keep up. So it takes them longer to keep up. And so what the Amalekites did was they laid in wait, and it describes that in Exodus 17 and Deuteronomy 25, how they laid in wait and they preyed upon them and they attacked Israel from the backside, from their weak side. But what I take is interesting is that God says this. This is in chapter 15 of Samuel. This is 400 years later. God says, I haven't forgot what the Amalekites did to my people. And that just kind of woke me up. God pays attention to detail, even if it's a long time later. He doesn't allow things just to go. Our God is a God of order, but he's a loving, caring, gracious God, but he also is a just God. So the Bible teaches us that he doesn't allow sin to go undone. And you think, man, 400 years, what? I thought he would just forget about that. Well, he doesn't. He doesn't forget. And that what that tells me, this is what I get out of that, is that when I think I've got everything and I've slipped by and I've gotten around the judgment of God, and I understand that there's mercy and grace, don't get me wrong, but when you don't want to repent, the Amalekites didn't want anything to do with God. And when we get to a place in our life where we don't have to say, God, I'm sorry, God, I don't need you, and we walk away from God, and we get to a place where we're really far, and a lot of people think, well, there's no judgment of God. I can just keep going, and there's going to be no repercussions for what I'm doing. No, they're coming. They're on their way. It might be a while, but the judgment of God will come. And so this is what's going on. And when we get to chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, we find that the Amalekites have done wrong unto Israel. God says that there's still a problem in your life. And if you read the Old Testament, we have to understand also that all the Amalekites and the Philistines and the Jebusites and the Amorites, and you could go through all the ites, there's a whole bunch of them in the Old Testament. They're a picture of the battles and the struggles that you and I have in our life. They're a physical picture in the Bible of the struggles and the battles that you and I are going to face. Because we are going to face battles as a Christian, right? This life, when you get saved, you give your life to Christ, things aren't just a bed of roses. We still got issues. We got baggage from our past. We have things we have to deal with. We still have a life to live here on this earth. And so presently, there's still sin around. There's still enemies and battles to fight. And so that's really what God's wanting to do with Israel in our text here. He's wanting to get rid of a problem that keeps coming back and hurting Israel. So it's a picture of our life, how there's some things that God wants us to utterly destroy and get rid of. But yet, a lot of times we don't do that, do we? We push it back in a corner, and things get good for a while. We think, well, I'm okay now. But we never finished it off. We never got rid of the real issue. We never done what God said and just utterly get rid of it and never go back. And so now the Amalekites have posed a problem again. So this is what God wants. God says this. He says, all right, Samuel, you're my man of God. I want you to go tell King Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. So the first few verses there we read that God gives instruction to Saul, and he's to go and he's to kill the men, the women, the oxen, the sheep. He goes down a list there. Even the babies, everybody. All animals, everything goes. Now we look at that and we think, my goodness, how is the mercy of God in this? How could God allow something like that to happen? Those children didn't deserve that. No, but it does show us this, that our sin affects other people. And the sin of the parents, generation after generation, who refused to do anything with God. They didn't want nothing to do with God. In fact, they hated God and God's people. Now judgment has come upon them. And so we find that Saul, he hears the instruction. The Bible says he goes and he numbers his soldiers. And he goes and he numbers all the men. He takes a census in the land. He figures out how many he has, and he's got a good number of troops. Then the Bible says that he goes to a city of Amalek, and he sets up shop there one evening. He sends some messengers into the camp because the Kenites are with them. And he's not wanting to destroy the Kenites, and so he lets them know, hey, I'm gonna take care of this. I'm gonna go in here and clean house. You guys, I'm gonna give you a chance to leave. And so the Bible says that they do that. In the middle of the night, they all get out. And so the next day they go to war, they go to battle. And we understand what the goal was, right? Utterly destroy everything. Leave nothing. Now there are some battles in the scriptures that it shows that God said you can take the spoil here, or sometimes I want you to save this and I want you to sacrifice it to me later, but that wasn't their instruction. And so they get into the battle, the heat of the battle, and the Bible says that they slay every man and every woman. They slay all the people, but there's a problem because he looks at Agag, the king of Amalek at the time, and Saul says this, you know what? There's some benefit and gain to me holding him as prisoner. Because back in those days, if you could take the king back alive and torture him in front of everybody, it would lift you up personally in front of the people. It would make you look good, like you've done a great victory. And so that's what happened. And so the Bible says that he spares Agag, and I'm gonna have to go through this quickly, but he spares Agag, and then the Bible also says that the people, they didn't kill all the sheep and the oxen and those types of things. They found the best that they could find. They killed the rest, all the ones that didn't seem like they had any value, but they saved some of them, and they take them back, and so they come back, and they come back to their city, and the Bible says they come back to Gilgal, and all of a sudden we find in the scripture, let's read a couple verses real quick to kind of set the stage here. Look at verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king." This is God speaking. "For he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." Now verse 12 there says, Samuel gets the instruction, he gets word that Saul has gone back to Gilgal, but before he's done it, he set him up a place. That just simply means this: a lot of times when they would take a territory back in those days, they would set up a marker, or they would set up a pile of stones or some kind of a statue type thing to mark that they just took this territory and I did it, is what they're saying. Now, with the life of Saul and knowing who Saul is, it was probably out of pride. If you study the life of Saul, his whole life was full of pride. It was all about him. It could have been. Not every king that did that did it in the wrong spirit, but I couldn't help but think he set him up a place, his own, maybe put his own statue there just so everybody that would go by would know, hey, he's a powerful dude. He's the king of Israel. He just took this place. I better be careful around him. And that's why they would set him up a place there. So that's what that means. And so he sets him up a place, and the Bible says Samuel hears of it, and he goes to him. Look at verse 13. "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Wait a minute now. I think I just read in verse 11 that God said, he hath not performed my commandments. So who's right, God or him? Now, obviously, this question's rhetorical. You know where this is going. But I even chuckle when I read this, but then I got to look at me. I mean, I have to look at my life. How many times do I know for a fact I didn't do everything God told me to do? But yet, I'll tell everybody else around me, oh, yeah, I did everything God wanted me to do. Yep, I took care of that, Pastor. I've got that right in my life. I've got this right. Maybe you're telling people at work. Maybe the people at the church, they see you in a different light than what you really are. Now, I'm not just preaching that to everybody else. I'm talking to, we all can be that way sometimes. We have a tendency as humans to want to make ourselves look better than we are because we care about what people think. Now, we can say, I don't care what anybody thinks. We can say that all day long, but as a human, it's built inside of you to want to be loved, to want to be be noticed, to have friends, right? I mean, for most people, I've met some people, I don't think that's the truth, but that's just the way some people are, but most of everybody is this way. And so Saul instantly lies to the man of God. This is what he says in the last part of verse 13, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And verse 14 says, Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Samuel, the man of God, he hears him say this, but he can hear and he can see all the animals that the people spared right outside. And he goes, wait a minute, you're saying this, I'm hearing that. It's not lining up. And a long story short, you can read the scripture, it goes back and forth for a few verses there. That he keeps trying to say, and then he gets to a place, Saul does this, he starts making excuses, and he says, oh, wait a minute now, yeah, you're right. I mean, there are some things out there. I didn't probably do it all exactly the way God said, but it was the people's fault. The people are the ones that brought the sheep. I brought Agag, you know, that was something I did, but the people, they're the ones that did all of this. And, you know, that's kind of how we are sometimes. We ever get busted or we get caught in something that we know we probably haven't done everything right. By nature, we start doing the blame game, right? Even as adults, we can get to do the blame game sometimes. And we look around and we say, well, you know, I can't really serve God in this area because, you know, my family, my husband or my wife or my children or the job. You know, the job just takes so much and I don't really have any time for God at church or anything like that, but that's because of the job, you know. And we have reasons why, but really we know they're not valid reasons. They're not truly the valid reasons. They don't measure up to what God instructed us to do. So we find here that Samuel, he's looking at Saul. This is the king. This is the one that everybody wanted, and he's at odd with God. Look at verse number 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, this is him talking to Saul, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, listen to this, verse 20, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep, oxen, and chief of the things which they should have utterly destroyed, should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Israel. So this is the end right here. This is what he's getting down to. Samuel replies, and we read it earlier. Look at the middle of verse number 22. He says this, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So this is the gist of the message right here. I'm gonna end it right here. Quick and easy, right? You and me in our life, when we're approached with a situation that God wants us to, gives us instruction, and there's some things in our life. Maybe we got some Amalekites in our life that need to be destroyed. Some things that keep bringing us down spiritually, and we keep going, we keep suppressing them, but we don't utterly get rid of them. Maybe there's some Amalekites in my life or your life this morning that we just need to say, God, I know I haven't fully been obedient to what you've told me to do. And this is what Samuel told Saul. He said, this is from God. God would rather you obey, be obedient, than just to go through sacrifices. You say, what does that mean for today? Well, sacrificing back in those days is what God wanted them to do, but it was a religious practice, right? Religious, the word religion and religious is not always bad. It's in the Bible. It was a religious practice that they did, and that's what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to bring sacrifices, right? That was just part of what they did in the Old Testament. But really what for us, this is what it has a picture for us, is that sometimes we go through the religious formalities of going to church. We wear our tie, the suit, or we come to church. We're there, but we're not obedient to God. We're willing to make some sacrifices to God to come to church, but we're really, when we leave the doors, we're not willing to obey everything he says to do. And why is that? Because we want to please people sometimes more than God. Because if you read this is the whole catch to it right here. Look at verse number 24. This is what he says. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words because what? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Too many times we don't finish the work that God wants us to do because we're too worried about what people think. We won't kill the Amalekites in our life and get rid of it. What are people going to think if I quit doing that? What are people going to think if I start going to church more and get involved more? And we're too worried about what everybody else thinks instead of what did God say to do. And we're missing out on our spiritual life. We're missing out on victories. And I'm just telling you right now, there's some Amalekites that we're all facing. Yeah, I said we all. There's some Amalekites that I didn't get rid of years ago that are still nipping on my heels, and I just need to do everything I can to continue. Lord, help me to utterly destroy those things in my life that keep me from having victory. Lord. So this morning, that's the message, simply put. What Amalekite is in your life that God said utterly destroyed and you haven't done it? And you just kind of pushed it back and said, you know, I've got some victory over it. I don't think I need to worry about it. God said, I want you to get rid of it. Cut it off. Because if you read the end of the chapter, this is what happens. Samuel goes up after he talks to Saul, tells him you're done as a king. He finds Agag. He pulls out a sword front of everybody, and he hews him or cuts him into pieces. That's gross, but he did it. He cut him into pieces in front of everybody right there. He finished the job. That's what God wanted Saul to do. But he was too worried about what everybody else thought. So the message is simply this today. Obedience to God is more important than what people think. And I'm preaching to me. I'm right up here with you. We all struggle with peer pressure. I don't care who you are, how big and tough people are. I go to the prisons all the time. That means nothing. Everybody worries about what people think. And today, you say, well, man, I don't want to. We see the penalty that happened to him. He lost the whole kingdom. God said, you're done. You're off the kingdom. It took several years. God dethroned him. But what I love about this, the whole story, this is the good part. That the Bible says we live in a day of grace right now. And we serve a gracious, merciful God. And the times that we have messed up, God is willing to forgive us. And today we can have a brand new start. And those things that have haunted you in your past, those Amalekites that you haven't gotten rid of, God says, I'll help you get rid of them right now if you want to turn back to me. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. So this morning, that's the message right there. Are we willing to obey God, or do we care more about what everybody else thinks about us, and we're willing just to be quiet and to live the life and still fight those Amalekites the rest of our life? Why not Why not get utterly destroy them and get rid of them today and get the victory? Amen. If you would, everybody stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, just out of respect to one another. We're going to have a time of invitation. All this time of invitation is simply to respond to the Lord. You can do it where you're at. You can do it up here if you wanted to. I just pray this, that if God spoke to your heart, you say, hey, Lord, I know I'm wrong in this area, and I just want to make it right. I want to get rid of this Amalekite in my life once and for all. And I can testify even up here that God has helped me get victory over things I never thought I could. But I had to go. I had to do it God's way. I couldn't do it my way, like Saul. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to have an invitation, time of invitation. You do as God has spoken to your heart. And just respond to whatever God wants you to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the morning. I thank you, Lord, for this message, how it spoke to my heart even this last week. Just looking at it, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient unto you first and not worry about what everybody thinks in our life. Lord, we just trust you in everything. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray you give courage to those that need to cut down some Amalekites in their life, Lord, some things that have just keep haunting them, keep coming back. Lord, they're not getting a victory, and they feel like they're just defeated. Lord, they can get the victory today if they'll just come to you and do it your way. Lord, we just thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.